Well, good morning, folks. Looks like it's time to begin. Welcome to Wheatland Baptist Church, McPherson, America. So glad to have you here. Let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, most of all, thank you for salvation. Lord, thank you for Christ's death on the cross to pay the price for our sins. Lord, so that we who are unworthy, Lord, can have the hope of going to heaven. Our sins have been paid for as far as the east is from the west. And Lord, when we go to heaven, we're going to be perfect. Our bodies are going to be perfect and everything. We look forward to that day, Lord. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Waiting for the sound of that shout, that trumpet, Lord, and we'll all be caught up. Christians will all be caught up in the air to be with the Lord. And Father, we look forward to that day. Lord, I pray that you'll open our hearts, Lord, to the message in this great book of Romans. As we go through this, I pray, Father, that I will say nothing that is in error, nothing that is wrong, contrary to Scripture. And Lord, I just pray that you'll guide me as I go. I pray that I'll get out of the way, Lord. Just let your word speak. And I pray that the people here that will have open hearts, Lord, to receive the message. And Lord, not just to hear it, but Lord, to be doers of the word. Help us, Lord, to leave here. And Lord, just have a burden to serve you in a greater way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And folks, as you well know, we have just been going through Romans 12, 1 and 2. Talking about presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. And we're going to wrap that up here in about 5 minutes, and we're going to move on. And so we was just getting ready to go into the last phrase of verse 2. And so, just to get up to speed here, I'd like to begin with Romans. Just go ahead and read Romans 1 and 2. They go together. And then we'll just pick it up at the end of verse 2. Not going to back up this morning. We're going to keep moving forward. So who would read Romans 12, 1 and 2 for us this morning? John?
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, in the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable.
Thank you, John. Okay, these verses, powerful, powerful verses. And like I've said so many times, anytime anybody preached on this, I just wanted to run and hide because a living sacrifice. And notice that it says, which is your reasonable service, okay? That means by God's opinion, that is not an unreasonable request. It's not unreasonable because God says, look at what I provided for you. I have provided a home in heaven for you, and the least we can do is try to do our best to try to thank him by living a godly and a holy life. And that's difficult to do, and we all know that. And so, okay, with no further ado, I'm just going to go ahead. I'm going to pick it up at the end of verse 2 here. And the end of verse 2 says that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's talking about don't be conformed to the world. And folks, the world's, it draws us. It lures us. And we get trapped. We get sucked into the world system and into the sin and the stuff. And it's enticing. And Lord, and the Bible tells us we're not supposed to do that. And be not conformed to the world, okay? And again, I'm just going to pick it up here, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And when we've presented the soul, the body, and the mind, we will say, I approve of your will, God. This is talking about if we have presented our bodies a living sacrifice, we're going to prove what God wants. We're going to want what God wants, not what we want anymore. A living sacrifice. He doesn't want dead sacrifices anymore. He wants a living sacrifice. That is you. It's referring to Christians. The unsaved does not qualify for this because they've got to present their souls first. You present your soul. Now we got to present our mind, our will, our body, and everything after salvation. That's where that begins. We will give our will up and we will say, your good and your perfect will I approve. That's what I want, Lord. I don't want what I want. Now I want what you want. There's been a change. There's been a change. It calls for giving up our own will ultimately. And folks, these are hard. It's hard to live by. And I know I've said this before. It's got to be a growing thing. It should be what we are striving for. And yet the Apostle Paul says, the things I don't want to do, that's what I do. And the things I should do, that's what I don't do. So the Apostle Paul was struggling. So as we struggle, we're not alone, okay? You're in good company, I guess. But yet God wants us to strive to do our level best to be a living sacrifice. It calls for giving up our own will, okay? Folks, I don't want my own will. I want your will. Folks, can we say that? I look at my life. I say, oh my, Lord, I fall so far short. But it should be our want to, our desire, our will, okay? I don't care where I live. I don't care what I possess. I don't care what I have and don't have. I just want whatever you want. That's all. That's all. Folks, that's a hard thing to follow. But that's what God says is not an unreasonable request. And I got to look at my life and I think, oh, Jim, how could God love you? How could God save you? You know, when you look at your life and how you're living it and what you're doing. And yet he loves us so much. He died for us. A renewed mind will be expressed in a submissive will and in a body presented as a living sacrifice. It all comes in one package. You can't prevent your body. Okay. You can't present your body unless you have a renewed mind because you won't have the will to do it. We've got to submit our mind, our will, and give it to God and say, Lord, take it, use it, help me do the things that you're asking me to do. I need your help, Lord. In my humanness, I can't do it. I need your help. That needs to be our mindset. But when you have a renewed mind, your will be submissive to God and you will offer your body as a living sacrifice. It goes together. We ask, do you do this? Okay, we ask, do you do this just once in your life? A one-time submission? No. You do it all the time, every waking moment. Because folks, we might offer our body as an offering to God, but we crawl off the altar real quick, all constantly. We crawl back off the altar. We got to crawl back on, living sacrifice. It's a conscious, continual, renewing act. We tend to exercise our will all the time and grabbing for this and for that. I need it and I want it. And I want it now. That's the mindset of people today. That's the mindset of a lot of Christians today. The controlling factor is for the will of God to be done in our lives. That should be what we want. Lord, I want what you want. And I'm willing to submit to your will to whatever happens, good or bad. Okay? And we never need to fear the will of God, do we? Never have to fear the will of God. It's perfect. God doesn't make any mistakes. It demands that I seek his pleasure, that I seek to satisfy him only, and I do not mind how much it costs me to do so. Folks, God's asking us to take a stand, to let our Christianity mean something to us. our salvation, that it means something to us, that people can see it. There must be a willingness to yield, a breaking and a pouring out of everything to Him. And folks, I am teaching myself as I am teaching you. And folks, I have been through this lesson long before you got to hear it. And God has been working me over like you wouldn't believe. And anyway, I got a long ways to go. But folks, we're all diamonds in the rough, and God keeps chipping away the dross to try to get a perfect diamond out of us. And He's got a lot of work to do yet on me. So that's what it talks about, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay. And that ends verse 2. We're getting ready to move on to verse 3. So, is there any questions or comments before we move on? Okay. I don't have an opinion. I've never been asked a question, never thought about it, but...
I suppose it could be both. The way the context is before is talking about, you know, each individual personally and what you should do. So I'm wondering if it's approved to yourself.
I've never thought, I don't know. It obviously is to prove it to others, but... as far as, I suppose, yeah, I guess we could take a look at ourselves and use this as a measuring stick to see how we're doing. And but as I use a measuring stick and look at how I'm doing, I'm not doing very good. Not doing very good. Pastor.
I don't know if it's helpful. I just have a note in my Bible that says, through means ascertain, not prove, but
okay. Okay. Yes. Yes. To experience it. Okay. Good thought. Yes, sir. Okay.
So to prove our love for Him, then we have to learn what is pleasing to Jesus, not for ourselves.
Okay. Good point. Good point. Very good. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Thank you for the comment. I appreciate it. Appreciate your input. Very good. And we're going to find, folks, that these, from here going for the rest of just chapter 12 through 13, it is all, these two chapters are all referring back to verses 1 and 2, 12, 1 and 2, living sacrifice. And now God is going to tell us how He wants us to live. And this is kind of, we're going to get down here now to where the rubber meets the road. And, where the shoe leather meets the sidewalk, I guess. So we're going to go ahead and we're getting ready to start here in verses 3. I have some opening comments here. We're going to start talking about the spiritual gifts, and we're going to talk about our relationship to the government, to others, to other believers, to the unsaved. That's kind of where we're headed now. But just a few opening comments here. Before we start with verse 3. In verses 1 and 2, we just learned that we are to offer our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. Okay, we've been through that now for about 3 weeks. Now, why do we need to do that? The answer is in order that we may serve God properly as described in verses 3 through 8. So if we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, then we will be able to fulfill what God's asking us to do in these forthcoming verses. So that we may be of use to Him, so that we may maximize our giftedness. And we're going to talk about the spiritual gifts. So that we may serve His cause, His purpose, and His people. Okay? We're all to serve one another. To reach the lost and to do His work His way. Out of self-sacrifice comes an attitude of humility. Folks, if we're sacrificing ourselves, it'll be in humbleness. I've just put my life on the altar. I'm not trying to salvage my own ego. I'm not trying to fulfill my own goals and desires and to build my own reputation. And folks, a lot of us are trying to do the very things that I just said we're not trying to do. Okay? I just want to do what God wants me to do. We who are the redeemed indicated to us in the first 11 chapters. The first 11 chapters of Romans have been talking about salvation, leading up to it, all the things about salvation. To us is committed the task of being the hands, the feet, and the voice of Jesus. Now that's a powerful statement. I'm going to repeat it. To us is committed the task of being the hands, the feet, and the voice of Jesus. Folks, that is an awesome responsibility. And we are living in a wicked and a very, very, very perverse world. And I cannot believe the turn around this nation has done in just the last year, 2 years, 3 years. Wow. And I mean, there's things that are atrocious that they're trying to put into our law, make it law. It is atrocious. Not going to go into that. Leave that alone, Jim. This is our basic retirement that God lays down for every believer. God wants our life offered as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Him, which is our basic act of spiritual worship. We worship Him by offering ourselves. Salvation is the entrance into usefulness, where we can begin to be used by God. God might use the unsaved, but in an extremely limited way. Can't say He doesn't use them at all, but it's very limited. Until a person becomes saved as a believer, that's when God can use us. It is worship, the offering of ourselves. Now, the next step we're moving into now, folks, is service. Okay? Now that we've been saved, God is asking us to serve Him. That's the divine order. And folks, you've heard this many times from me, but I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 11 through 15. And folks, here we are looking at the judgment seat of believers. Now, the unsaved have a different judgment. We've been through this. It describes the judgment of unbelievers. It's found in Revelation chapter 20. It's talking about, it's called the white throne judgment, where God gets out the books and looks to find out whose name is written in the book of life. That is the judgment of the unsaved. What we're looking at right here is a judgment of believers. Okay? Once we are saved, okay, the penalty of our sin, that was dealt with at Calvary, at the cross. So that is no longer an issue. Once you're saved, that's a done deal. But now, God is going to judge us based on our works. This isn't based on grace, this is based on our works, okay? Since we have been saved, what have we done for the Lord? Okay? And we're going to read 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15. I know you've heard this many times, but I think it fits in here. Because we're all going to stand. Okay. Who would read those verses for us? Charlotte? Yeah, through 15.
If any man work abideth, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive the reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet burned by fire.
Okay. You notice how many times the word work is shown here? Okay. Several times. Okay. And yet it ends on there, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. In other words, you're not going to lose your salvation if all of your works and everything like that is burned up like wood, hay, or stubble. Okay, it's burned up. There's nothing left. Okay, yet he himself shall be saved. Okay, that was taken care of at Calvary. But now we're based on the judgment of works. And I think the Bible teaches that there are degrees of blessing in heaven based on our works. What have we done for the Lord? I also believe the Bible teaches that there are degrees of punishment in hell, okay? Because again, they're judged on their works, but it's not for salvation in hell. It's based on our works. And folks, this is our judgment. And this takes place after the rapture. I don't know for sure in the chronology of wherever it falls, but it's going to happen sometime. And we're all going to, in other words, God's going to look at us and say, okay, since you have been saved, what have you done for me? And what has been your motive? Okay? Motive is a big thing here. Because God is going to judge it, and we build on gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Okay? So what happens to wood, hay, and stubble when it is tested by fire? It burns up. Okay? It's gone. All right? But gold, silver, precious stones isn't burned. In fact, that's the way you refine both gold and silver, you know, in fire. So, and the thing about being burned up, what is our motive? Why do we do what we do? Let's say somebody is a singer, sings solos, okay? What is your motive for singing a solo? If your motive is to have people come up and pat you on the back and say, wow, what a wonderful singer you are. That was, you just attaboy, attaboy. And you sit there and you say, oh, you're stroking my ego. Just keep it up. I'll give you 2 hours to stop that. Okay? Folks, that's going to get burned up in the fire. God will reward us openly. Okay? If you're doing it to honor the Lord, to serve the Lord, to further his kingdom, that's gold, precious stones, and silver. And so a lot of times, why we do what we do, if we're doing it for the praise of men, it's going to be burned up. You might have a beautiful voice. I'm just picking singing out, okay? Same thing with pastor, okay? As a pastor, if he's doing it for the praise of men, wood, hay, and stubble, burned up. If he's trying to honor the Lord, anything we do, folks, that's anything we do. And a lot of times we've got to stop and ask ourselves, why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we doing it? And, and so we need to do it, Now, there's nothing wrong. If somebody wants to come up and praise you for it, and pat you on the back, okay, that's their thing. But that was not your reason for doing it. God knows your heart, okay? So that's, God will sort that out. So we're judged on our works. And so what have we done? In these verses, Paul gives examples of the gifts, okay? Prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling, and showing mercy. That is the spiritual gifts that we're getting ready to look at. Now, let me say before we look at these that in general, in the New Testament, there are three different categories that gift the spiritual gifts fall into. Three different categories, okay? There are the sign gifts, there are speaking gifts, and there are serving gifts. And that's, we'll see that. That's going to get clearer. It's easy to remember each because each starts with an S. Sign, speaking, and serving. That's the three different categories of the spiritual gifts. First were the sign gifts, intended for that reason, in other words, for miracles. Signs, miracles. I mean, they're synonymous here. They were the sign gifts or the miracle gifts, intended for that reason, for signs or miracles pointing to something very significant. They were unique to the time of the apostles, to the New Testament age. They were unique to the time when the apostles' teaching needed to be authenticated. In other words, we've got the apostles are going out there preaching, all right? And people are not going to pay much attention to them, okay? But if it's accompanied by a miracle, by a sign, wow. I mean, something got to say, man, this has got to be, man can't do this. This has to be from God. It authenticated their ministry, their teaching. They were unique to the time of the writing of the New Testament scripture. The New Testament scripture had not been completed yet. Okay? In fact, let's go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians 12:12. Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and read this verse myself. 2 Corinthians 12:12, it says, "Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds." Okay, in other words, just talking about the signs and miracles of an apostle. Okay, miracles of an apostle were shown among you, okay, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Okay, things that human people can't do. God is trying to reveal something, and he's trying to authenticate what these guys are saying is true, it's real. Okay? "Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you." And what were they? "In signs and wonders and mighty deeds." Okay? That's why they were called special gifts or signs that belong to an apostle. Powerful deeds and miracle deeds. So the sign gifts or the miracle gifts, which are, I'm going to name them off here, tongues, healing, miracles, interpretation of tongues, those miracle gifts were for the time of the apostles' teaching to authenticate their ministry. This is real. This is from God. You can't look it up in the Bible because it hasn't been written yet. And these people need to know what the apostles are teaching. Excuse me. There was no New Testament to compare their teaching with. So it was the miracles that authenticated them. Now, here's something I think I knew in the past, but I had forgotten it. Now, this is important, folks, okay? The sign gifts are included in 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul speaks about the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 was written in about 54 A.D. Now, the term A.D. means after Christ's birth. In other words, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 was written in about 54 A.D. All right? And that is what is intriguing is that in Paul's list of gifts in Romans, unlike his list of the gifts in Corinthians, none of the miraculous gifts are mentioned. None. Okay? Now, we're talking about the miracle gifts, the sign gifts, and I just mentioned them. Look up here and just see what they were. It had to do with the tongues, the interpretation of tongues. Well, I can't even find it. And I just... Well, anyway, none of the sign gifts. Okay. You'll find another indication of spiritual gifts in Ephesians. That's written about 63 A.D. In other words, 1 Corinthians is written in 54. Romans is written in 58. Ephesians written in 63. The sign gifts are not mentioned there either. And you'll find in 1 Peter 4 mentioning the gifts, and that was written in 66 A.D., okay, which would be about 8 years after 1 Corinthians 12, and none of the sign gifts are listed there either. So they're only listed one time in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and that's it. After that, they're never mentioned again. Can anybody tell us why? They had ceased. They had ceased. Okay? The Bible talks about, it says tongues will cease. I mean, it's already mentioned that in the Bible. And for the most part, they probably weren't being used. They might be being, I'm not saying they weren't used at all. I'm just saying they didn't list them in the Bible anymore. They were not worthy to be mentioned anymore. It was over with, it was done, it was finished. Okay, so that's what we believe in this church. That the sign gifts, speaking in tongues, the miracles, the healings, all that stuff, ceased. Now we're not saying God doesn't heal anymore; He does, but we do not believe in divine or spiritual healer. What am I trying to say? I'm getting off my notes here, so I lose track of what I'm saying. But anyway, there's people that they still, the charismatic movement, okay? We don't believe in what they believe as far as all the healings. They're slaying in the spirit. There's all kinds of stuff goes on in that. We don't believe in that. And anyway, let me get back to my notes here. So it seems as though you could see, even in the sequence of New Testament books, that there was a dimension of these, a diminishing of those sign gifts. So what is left, if you take the sign gifts away, okay, if the sign gifts are passed away with the apostles, that's basically what I'm saying, it passed away with the apostles, we don't have that anymore today. All you have to do is to go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and you'll see what is left. Okay? And the other two categories of the three S's, the other two are left. That is the speaking gifts and the serving gifts. And so this is going to clear up and make more sense now as we start going through these verses. So don't miss. Okay? So, now I've opened up this little can of worms. Any questions or comments before we start reading the text? I know you can't leave it alone, John.
There are all kinds of people today that are tricksters. Both probably some saved and a lot of unsaved. And we need discernment. We need to study the Word of God, just like you're bringing out. Well, why were they listed here and not there and things like that? That doesn't prove it, but it gives evidence to it.
Mm-hmm. So we do not believe in a charismatic movement. Okay. Now again, let's talk about the, because the New Testament had not been written yet, We also know that, I guess, the book of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, I think, was written about 90 A.D. And so, apparently, so I can't just say that they had to wait till the New Testament was completely written, before the sign gift stopped. But anyway, because, yeah, that was written about 90 A.D. John on the Isle of Patmos was, that's when he writ them books. The New Testament was being in the process of being written, but at least it kind of gives evidence here that the sign gifts were not worthy anymore to be listed in those three books to follow. It doesn't mean that it had stopped completely. Maybe there were still some revelations God was given through the apostles. There might have been some more of the sign gifts shown, but all I'm saying, they're no longer listed in Scripture. And I think if they were a viable thing, that they would have been mentioned. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. Any other questions or comments? I stand up here quaking in my boots because I've opened up quite a can of worms. Is it your hand up, Charla? Okay. Now, he's a charismatic. Who is it? Benny Hinn. Okay. So do you all know who he is? Okay. All right.
So she goes there. And when she comes back, she's been miraculously healed. Okay. Didn't last very long. So actually, it was the influence of the people around her, kind of a placebo effect. So this will take later. So within that big group of people that was around her, mm-hmm.
Okay. I believe a lot of it's just built on hype. You know. Anybody else?
Well, it's all entertainment and money in their offering.
Yeah.
And if they were sincere about their ability to heal people, they'd be in the hospital.
Yep. Okay, Gary?
I can vouch for that. Demonstrating airplanes to these type of people. I knew the flight crew members figured out pretty soon that this all mountain land, they're spending billions and billions of dollars on these big corporate jets. It takes a lot of people giving $2 a month to support one of those things, and I know how much it costs.
Okay.
You can figure out things quick when you're down close, but this is just all mountain land.
Okay. Now, for those of you that don't know, Gary was a commercial airplane pilot, and he flew.
Is
okay. Thank you, John. He flew a lot of these charismatic preachers all around. They needed somebody to fly them, and Gary wound up flying them. He'd haul them here, haul them there, you know, wherever. But you kind of get the hobnob with these people, and he's saying it was all around about money, you know. There's not everybody here may know that you did all this type of thing. So, Gary's talking firsthand. Okay, folks, we got a whopping 1 minute left. So my enemy has just, Jeffrey, you have something?
Involved in the ministry, thought that he was doing God's work, and then started having questions, and
Okay, thank you, Jeffrey.
He has an inside scoop like Gary, seeing things from the inside.
Yeah, he would be, being the son of him, so, okay. All right. So if anybody forgot that, go see Jeffrey. He's got the information, so very thank you for bringing that up. Folks, we got to close. Our time is up. Next time, we'll begin Romans chapter 3, and we'll get Romans chapter 12, verse 3. My tongue gets ahead of my brain. Okay, let's close with a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Father, for this instruction book that you've given us, Lord, to learn how to live, to learn what you like, what you don't like. And Lord, as we move forward in the book of Romans, we're going to be studying how you want us to live. And things were some do's and some don'ts, Lord, that please you and that don't please you. And Lord, I pray that you'll open our hearts as we go through it. What a rich, rich, rich book this has been. Thank you for it. Thank you for all of Scripture, Lord. Father, I just pray that you'll be with Pastor as he brings a morning message. I pray, Father, that you'll speak through him to us. Open our hearts, Lord. Each one of us has a different need. And I pray, Father, that our needs will be met as we study your word. And Lord, help us not just to be hearers, but to be doers. Help us, Lord, to be obedient. And Lord, just to have a strong desire to have a closer walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray.